Praise the Lord. Isaiah 35, if you would turn there with me today. This is a prophetic word here in Isaiah 35, describing the kingdom of God, Christ's kingdom, whenever he comes, the Messiah comes, and all the wonderful blessings that he brings, including revival and spiritual blessings, that he's the source of it all. You can, this Isaiah 35, these 10 verses, describe the kind of spiritual revival each one of us can experience. And I'm going to read here, beginning with verse number 1. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands, and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not, behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water in the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes, and an highway shall be there, and a way shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those the wayfaring man, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up therein. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Amen. Doesn't that sound wonderful? It sounds like revival. It sounds like the fulfillment of the kingdom of God and all that we have to look forward to. As far as the kingdom is concerned, I want to ask you a question this morning, and this is what's on my heart. I want to ask you, are you in a dry spell? Spiritually speaking, are you in a dry place right now? And only you really know where you are. Only you really know what you're experiencing in your spiritual life. Because we do have times, seasons, it seems that we're just rejoicing having such so many blessings coming our way. But then there are times that as Christians, we do go through times where it seems like God is a million miles away. It does seem like that we go through times when there's just a dryness and emptiness and just a barrenness in our life. And with that, we need to take notice if you're going through an experience like that. This week on Tuesday, we flew out to Albuquerque, New Mexico, and yesterday I flew back. I was, as the plane was taking off from Albuquerque, if you've ever been out in that region, it's pretty much just a desert country. And but as you take off, you can see that we're the only places where there's greenery is if there is a stream or a lake, and then within the perimeter of the lake, there would be greenery, trees and things growing, but just out a little ways from the water, barren and dry and brown. Everything just looked brown like a desert, except where they were close to the water supply. Amen. And I think that we all, as Christians, need to be reminded that if you are going through a dry time, a dry spiritual season, that you do not need to ignore what's going on. You don't need to just think, well, I'll be better. Things will get better. No, you need to take some real steps to move back to that place of the divine supply that is yours in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Really, just the whole message of salvation is a message of life. It's a message of not barrenness, but fruitfulness, flourishing, and growth. That is the message of salvation. Even when the prophet spoke of the coming of Christ, the Messiah, he described what was going to be happening, that it was going to be John, who was the forerunner of Jesus, the Messiah, who came announcing him. He was described as the voice coming out of the wilderness. And much of his time and ministry was spent in the wilderness. But his message was, out of this dryness, out of this barrenness, there is one that's coming that is going to bring life. And he's going to restore you in life. Isaiah 53, that chapter that describes the coming of the Messiah, describes him as the root out of the dry ground that just grows up, and that there is life. I heard just the other day on the radio, they were talking about the song that we've sung over the years, "Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow." That song was written by Bill Gaither. And years ago, he had a little office building, and right in front of that office building, he had asphalted, paved an area there for parking. But one day, not long after that he had paved that area, he went outside and he saw a green plant that had busted up right through that asphalt and was growing through the asphalt. And when he saw that plant could grow under those kind of circumstances, he got to thinking about the fact that because Jesus is alive, we can face anything. We can go through anything. And so he wrote the song, "Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow." Because He lives, all fear is gone. So Jesus, whenever He came, He brought life. And there's not anything in this world, no trouble, no problem, no worry, nothing that you're facing today that can ever stop what God wants to do in your life. If you're in a dry and a barren place right now, Jesus came that you might come up out of that you might be revived, and that you might be refreshed. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. Let me skip over here and find it. Acts chapter 3 and verse number 19. "Repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." That's what He has promised to send to those who will come and humble themselves before the Lord, repent of their sins, and ask the Lord, "Lord, I don't want to be in this dry place anymore. I don't want to be where I can't sense your presence. I don't want to be where I don't feel like that I'm in touch with you and I can hear your voice. I don't want to be in this dry place anymore. I want to come out of that." The times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. When you enter into the presence of the Lord, and that He will refresh you and He will strengthen you. You know, it's a dangerous thing to overlook your dry spiritual state. I didn't realize this. I was looking into this just a little bit, dehydration is a major physical problem. If you get physically dehydrated, it can do many things to you. As a matter of fact, I read where if just 10% of the fluid in your body is depleted, you can die. Only 10%. And it's a very serious thing. A few years back, I had the opportunity to go to India, and during that time, the first 7 days that I was there, I was in two prayer and fasting meetings in two locations with Josh Hamby and Jeff Osborne. And Brother Clendenin had asked that some brethren would go in there and conduct these meetings. And this was right after the tsunami that had so damaged that area. And so he asked that some brethren would come. Actually, Brother Clendenin was going to be there. That's when he got locked up and arrested at trying to get into the country. And that's a big, long story all in itself. But Brother Osborne got in. I got in. And Brother Josh Hamby was already there. And so here was the plan was we were going to be in two different locations, 3 days at a time. And those were prayer and fasting meetings. Now, if you've ever flown that far, it's a pretty taxing situation to fly 16 hours to another part of the world, the other side of the world. You're pretty well drained by the time you get there. But as soon as I got there, we went right into a three-day fasting and prayer meeting. And what we did from 6 in the morning until 6 at night was we prayed, and then one of us preached, then we prayed some more, the other one would preach, then we prayed some more, and that went on from 6 in the morning until 6 at night. We did that those 3 days. We had 1 day break where we ate and were able to have, strengthen ourselves. Then we went to the southern part of India. We did another. There were 1,200 of these graduates of the School of Christ in that meeting. It was physically the most taxing thing I have ever done in my life because we went right back into another 3 day fasting and prayer effort and all of this preaching. The heat was intense, and it was rough. And then at the close of those 7 days, I got on an overnight train and traveled all the way up to a more northern part of India and met Brother Kamonapali that we had visited with Brother Huff a couple of years before that. And whenever, by way of email, he learned that we were coming, he asked that we would teach for 3 days a pastor's seminar or something of that sort, he called it. And so I got off the train after being on a train all night long. I got off the train, got in the car, and went to the service. And for 3 days, they wanted me, I preached 3 times a day. They wanted me to preach 4 times. Again, the heat. And there were 120 pastors there for 3 days. Now, that was my missions trip to India. So I am absolutely drained and exhausted. I go to the airport to get on the plane, and the plane is so filled that they say there's not going to be enough flights, and they come down the line asking people if they would take another connection. My connection normally would have went through Amsterdam and then into Cincinnati and back home, but they ask if anyone would be willing to take another connection, and I was already so drained by that time that I said, I'll take the connection if you'll upgrade me to first class. Because I knew that if you could get first class, you could rest, and so they agreed to that. And so the flight, I had no time to call my wife to tell her where I was at. All she knew is I was trying to get from India home, and so they sent that plane took me to Milan, Italy. I got off of the plane in the middle of the night, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I went from that extreme heat. When I got off the plane, it was snowing in Milan, Italy. And I had no coat on. I was drained physically. I could hardly walk. I didn't know what had happened to me. I was dehydrated. And I had gotten dehydrated because if you're in a plane for that long, they tell you, drink lots of water. Drink lots of water. If you're on a plane for 8 or 9 hours, make sure that you hydrate yourself because you're in that cabin that's, decompressed or whatever. And I didn't realize that. I was so weary that when I got on that first class flight, I just put my seat back and I went to sleep, and I slept most of that 8 or 9 hour flight to Milan, Italy. When I got off, I was so weak I could hardly walk. I thought, I'm going to die in Milan, Italy, and my wife is not going to know where I'm at. I made it inside, and I thought, I'm going to have to find a place where I can find me some water or something. And all of the places in that airport, they didn't open up until 6 o'clock, and this was like 3 o'clock in the morning. There was no water. There was nothing. And all I could do was lay on a bench. I had no strength. And I did call my wife finally, though, and tell her I might die in Milan, Italy. And so if I do, No, I said, pray, please pray. I am physically drained. I didn't know what was going on. I felt weak. I had a terrible headache. I was dizzy. I'd never felt like that before. I didn't know what was going on. I was dehydrated. At 6 o'clock, whenever they allowed me to check in for my flight, they said, well, since you have a first-class ticket, you can go into that room over there, into the special lounge for first-class people. Boy, did I feel good about that. I went in there, and they had a big, long bar with water and juices and all of these things. And I went in there, and it was so refreshing. It was such a help. I could feel myself getting strength just in the short amount of time that I was there in that place. It is a serious thing to get spiritually dehydrated. You can't ignore it. If you find yourself in need of revival, in need of refreshing, don't just think, well, it's going to get better. I'll do better later. No, you need to be focused now upon getting back in your relationship with the Lord. And make sure that if you are drained, dehydrated, dry spiritually, that you take some proactive steps to get a hold of God, to get in the presence of God, to get in a place of spiritual refreshing. Too often, when people find themselves in this condition, they're vulnerable. They don't even realize it, but they're vulnerable. They're spiritually weak. Scripture says in Matthew 12:43, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. The enemy knows that you're vulnerable, and he seeks through dry places for a place where he can attack and he can affect your life. And don't allow yourself to become vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy. Are you in a dry place? How long has it been since you have? I know this is terminology that we talk, among Pentecostals all the time. But how long has it been since you've really prayed through? That just means you've just prayed until you sense the presence of God, and you pray until you have moved out of your discouragement and your hopelessness. Faith starts rising up in your heart once again. You spend enough time in the presence of the Lord that you are restored and you're revived. Amen. Glory to God. You know, you can become spiritually dehydrated, even if you're moving in a direction that's against the will of God. You can't expect God to pour out His blessing and His favor upon you if you're disregarding the will of God. If you're walking in disobedience to what the Word of God says, if you know better than how you're living, don't expect that you're going to have God's favor and blessing upon your life. You're going to get dry. If you're saying no to God, you're going to get dry. If you're walking toward the world and a love for the things of this world, you're going to get spiritually dry. So turn around from that and begin to pursue God and the things of the Lord. And it's going to require steps of action to make sure that you don't stay in that dry place. You're going to have to take time to get back to the Lord and to seek the Lord. Psalm 63 at verse 1. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is, to see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Psalm 62 was written while David was on the run from Absalom, his son. He's in a wilderness. He's looking for hiding places. And he's longing for the time when he could get back to the temple, back to his home, back to the place of worship. And he was longing for that. He said, early will I seek Thee. He had a longing to know God and longing to get back to God. And so he sought the Lord diligently. Amen. If you're spiritually dry today, don't think that you can blame somebody else. You need to take action yourself. You can get a hold of God yourself. Amen. While everybody else is moving in a direction away from God, you can still get a hold of God.
You can still get in the presence of God. You can still be spiritually revived and hydrated by the presence of the Lord and the things of the Lord. David said, I'm in this wilderness, but I'm going to seek the Lord early. My flesh longs for the Lord. My soul longs for the presence of the Lord. How long has it been since you felt the touch of God, the blessing of the Lord? Let me tell you, it's the most wonderful thing in this world. It's the most wonderful thing that you can experience as a Christian. It's just the blessing and the favor of God. His presence in your life is a wonderful thing. Seek the Lord and then get in the Word of God. I don't mean just take a little bit of time. I mean you need to dive right into the Word of God. If you want to get spiritually hydrated, you need to spend time with the Lord. You need to start your day with the Lord. You need to take advantage of every opportunity throughout the day that you can to call upon the Lord. And then you need to take definite steps of actions to get in the Word of God. Amen. I'm talking about reading a lot of Scripture, meditating on the Word of God, asking the Lord to speak to you through the pages of His Word. His Word is alive. His Word will bring life. His Word will restore you. His Word will refresh you if you'll spend time with the Lord in His Word. Psalm 119, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things from thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. Amen. Seek after the Lord. Ask the Lord, open my eyes and help me to see what you're wanting to say to me for my particular situation right now. And He'll speak to you directly out of the Word of God. And then go to spiritual resources. Let me tell you, there's so many things available today. If you want to listen to sermons, they're available. All over the internet, they're available. If you don't have access to the internet, you come and see me. I can supply you with materials like this, and I would love to do that. If you really are serious about pursuing the things of the Lord, I can supply you with some things. You can listen to the Word of God. Most people, even on their cell phone, they can listen to the Word of God being read. You can listen in your car. There's so many wonderful resources. And read books. And I don't mean some of the books today I can't recommend, but get a hold of, go back and read some books that have blessed you spiritually in the past. Go back and reread them again. Amen. If they have proven to be something that stirred you or motivated you towards spiritual thing, go back and read it all over again. Some of you are saying, I'm not really a reader. Oh, yes, you are. You just have to make up your mind to do it, to spend time reading the Word of God and reading these spiritual resources and being stirred and revived and blessed these things. It takes time. It takes time. It took me several days when I got back from India. It took me 3 or 4, maybe 4 days to really come out of it. I just was sick. I just felt so weak and tired for days. And I just didn't have my normal strength back for several days. It's going to take a real concentrated, determined effort if you're in a dry place to come out of it. You don't have to stay there. You can have a personal revival. Amen. You can get a hold of God on your own and experience a spiritual revival. You need to ask yourself, what's caused this drought? The whole time I was in Albuquerque, I was dry. The temperature out there, the climate out there, it's so different than ours here. We're very humid here. There's hardly any humidity there at all. I was dry. My wife kept saying, we need to get some water. And she said, I've got a headache. And then when she said that, I started having one. I thought, she's giving me her headache. And that's some of the symptoms that happen. It just gets worse and worse and worse. Weakness, all kinds of things can happen whenever you become dehydrated physically. The same parallel in your spiritual life. The same parallel, and you need to make sure, what's causing this? What's brought me to the place where I am right now? It could be sin. It could be that you have disregarded the voice of the Lord.
and you're not living and doing what you know God wants you to do. Sin separates you from God. It puts you in a dry wilderness. It puts you in a barren place if you persist in a sinful lifestyle. It separates between you and the Lord. Scripture talks about your iniquities have separated you. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Your iniquities, or the word iniquity, it describes lawlessness, not wanting to come under the law of God or to submit to God. It's really self-will. Iniquity is just, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to go my own way. I'm going to do what makes me happy. I'm going to live my life to satisfy myself. That kind of living will bring you to a place that you are spiritually barren and spiritually dry. What's caused this to happen? It could be a break in relationships. You know, if you have aught against your brother, if you have an offense between you and someone else, you need to take care of that. The scripture says that you need to go. If you bring your gift to the altar, leave it there. Go. This is Matthew chapter 5. If you bring your gift to the altar and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave your gift before the altar. Go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. You're just not going to get anywhere with the Lord if there's an offense between you and someone else. If there's this barrier that's risen up between you and someone else, it's always going to be there. And so you need to leave your gift. You don't really have anything to offer to the Lord. And you can't receive from the Lord unless you are willing to forgive. Amen. And to be forgiven. Amen. So that relationship is restored. Romans 12 and verse 18, it says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Amen. You're probably saying, well, you just don't know this person. I just can't get along with them. No matter what I do or what I say, I just can't be at peace with them. It says as much as possible. Amen. Do your best. Do the best. I know that there are people that are just, you know, they just seem to be very cantankerous and hard to get along with, and seem to get their joy out of stirring up trouble and problems. But the Bible says, you do your best to be at peace with all men. Make sure that it's not on your part, and forgive and be forgiven. Amen. All of these things are things that can keep you from enjoying the blessing and the touch of God upon your life. Oh, how much we need to experience his blessing. Amen. I remember as a young man, whenever I was saved, and then later, also as a young teenager, when I was filled with the Spirit, I can remember how much joy came. How much I just felt so almost indescribable. The wonderful peace and the joy. And just to finally surrender completely to God and give it over to the Lord. What joy comes when we're willing to do that and to give ourselves completely to the Lord. Psalm 1, it says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Amen. As I described what I saw from the window of the plane yesterday, I saw the growth, the trees, the grass, all in the proximity to the streams of water and the lakes that were there. It was like the lakes were just outlined with greenery and everything else was brown. That's how that the saint of God has to be. He has to be planted by the river. Amen. He has to put his roots down deep by the river. He has to be permanent in his position with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you're in that place, that everything can be dry all around you, but because you're planted in the house of God, in the presence of God, in the things of God, no matter what of a barrenness that there is in this world, you can experience revival. Glory to God.
You know, really, revival in the church, it really just consists of every individual determining that you're going to personally be revived. I've heard people say, well, if we could just have revival, if the church could just get revived. And really, the answer is not point your finger at others and say, I wish they'd get revived or they would. The answer is, you need to get revived. You need to take the steps yourself. Get a hold of God. Get in the presence of God. Pray it through. Allow all these things that are stopping and hindering the blessing and the flow of God's presence in your life. Get it out. Remove it. It's not worth it. Your iniquity, your self-will that has determined, no, this is what I'm going to do with my life. This is the way I'm going to live my life. It's time for you to lay that down and commit yourself to Jesus Christ and begin to live your life in the blessing and the favor of God. Amen. You can't ignore it. You can't put yourself in a vulnerable place. I was flipping through some of the news items earlier this morning, just flipping through, looking at different things going on. I saw it. My eye caught this article about the coach of the University of Minnesota, whatever they are, football team. Yesterday, at the end of the game, he went into a seizure. And he had had problems with seizures earlier in his life. But he got out there on the sidelines, began to exert all of his energy in that game, and didn't hydrate himself, and as a result, went into a seizure. Very critical situation for that man. Let me tell you, it's a dangerous thing in the physical. No, it's such a serious thing spiritually. If you're in a dry place today, don't have to be that way. Amen. Get a hold of God. You can get a hold of God today. You can get a hold of God right here in this altar. You can pray it through. You can get right with God. You can remove all of those hindrances and enter into the presence of God. Amen. Just like rain pouring out. He'll restore your soul. He'll touch your life. You won't be in that barren place anymore. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's stand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you can restore and revive your people. And Lord, I just pray today for those in this meeting, Lord, who are spiritually in need. They don't have your touch in their life. They're walking in a barren and a dry place. There doesn't seem to be any real purpose or joy in that life. But Lord, I just pray that you would begin to speak by your Holy Spirit this morning. Speak directly to the hearts of men and women, Lord, in their need. And that they would be willing to call upon your name. That they would be willing to repent and to call upon you. And Lord, to allow you to do a wonderful work in our life, to come seeking you, to come praying and calling upon your name. And we know, Lord, that you will do wonderful things in revival. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. We're going to gather in for a time of prayer around the altars here this morning. And those of you in this service that you know you really need, you need to be revived. You're just in a place that you haven't felt the touch of God, the presence of God. How long has it been since you've really sensed the touch of the Lord in your life? Well, you can today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's here today, and he'll help you. He will minister to you if you'll just come to the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to invite everybody to come. Would you come? Let's gather in around this altar. Here, find an altar, make an altar, and let's call upon the Lord here today. If you want to kneel at your seat, that's okay. I think it'd be better if you could come to the front, but just find a place, and let's pray together. Let's call upon the Lord, and if you will be honest with yourself, are you in that dry place right now? Are you there? You can come out of that, but you're going to have to surrender your life, your future, everything to the Lord today, and he can do a wonderful work for you if you will just call upon the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Lord, you're the one that can revive. You're the one that can restore. You're the one, Lord.